cases result in convictions where the company is on probation and it has a criminal record. Congress could extend the statute of limitations for corporate crimes, with the idea being that these cases are incredibly complicated. It sometimes takes years for the company to fully cooperate and hand over all the emails and documents. Congress could also think about new misdemeanor crimes, not felonies, but in some areas of the law, there is strict responsible corporate officer liability. The idea is you are the supervisor. You may not have known what your subordinates are doing, but you have responsibility as the corporate officer. You can't prosecute someone for a felony if they didn't have intent, but you can convict them of a misdemeanor. And that's what we do in the food and drug context and for certain environmental crimes. So we could extend that concept to some additional areas like the financial industry. That would be a frightening prospect for executives to know that, yes, it's a misdemeanor, but a serious one, and you would be responsible criminally for what your employees did under your watch. I'm not normally a fan of creating more federal crimes. I think we have too many to begin with. Mm-hmm. But these are the crimes that really matter. They affect the entire economy. I think this is where the priority should be, not on a lot of other regulatory crimes that are strict, like immigration crimes or drug possession crimes, the kind of crimes that also don't involve intent, but for which we put tens of thousands of people away every year.
We've been speaking with Brandon Garrett. His book is called Too Big to Jail. Brandon Garrett, thank you very much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thanks so much.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. The show is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group, based in New York. Counterspin is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
The time is 6 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Tonight, in the first half hour, Mary has something to say. In the second half of the show, they're going to talk about breaking the stereotype that you are a product of your environment.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the inaugural Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project. On Monday, September 28th, at 7 p.m., 12 of Portland's poetry ambassadors will compete to become the Portland Youth Poet Laureate. The event will take place in the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. Again, that's Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project, a program of Spit Right, Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Gaining Ground, a feature-length documentary film by Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein on Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st at Cinema 21 in Portland. Gaining Ground tells the stories of farmers making extraordinary changes in their farming practice so they can feed their local communities sustainably grown produce and grains. The documentary interweaves experiences of urban farmer activists, large farms in transition, and small family farmers. Again, that's Gaining Ground, Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st, at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Monkey, presenting roots blues rocker Beth Hart in her first Portland show in over a decade, this Saturday at the Roseland. Beth is touring in support of her new album, Better Than Home. Tickets are still available online at cascadetickets.com and at the Roseland box office Saturday.
Thank you. preaching at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses.
Hello, and welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. I am Mary Postlewaite. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equality, globally and locally. We strive to challenge systems of oppression. All of this, and we have fun doing it. We always welcome new collective members, no experience necessary. To find out more, contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org. You can like KBOO, Bread and Roses, on Facebook to get updates and see behind-the-scenes photos. We're on Twitter at Bread and Roses Radio. You can also find us on the web at www.kboo.fm/breadandroses to listen to past shows and leave comments or suggestions. You can also email us suggestions at breadandrosescollective@gmail.com. Tonight in studio, we have our very own Olivia Aubrey and Marshalia Postlewaite.
Hello.
And my wonderful, lovely friend over here, Amber Bailey. Leon on your engineering, and we are waiting for Pamela and Nia. So, in the beginning of the show, I started kitchen table conversations. Well, I thought of something new to go along with that, and it's I got something to say. Because I hear things every day on the news, I hear my kids talking, and you know, I got something to say about some things. First and foremost, few months back, I did a show about the air quality in North Portland. Well, I have good news. We got a letter in the mail stating that the air quality has improved. They found a chemical that was being released by the companies that are near where I live, and that has been stopped. So that's just an update for the air quality in North Portland. Yay.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is, really. Something else. Parents and children. You know, I have a son, and he's a video gamer. You know that, Marshalia.
Yeah.
And he likes to watch TV and watch movies, but doesn't get enough physical exercise. And I have to admit that, you know, I should probably push him a little bit more into that. You know, I want to send out the signal, and I'm sure all of you guys can say, too, that we need to take a day out of a week. And, you know, even if it's just a couple hours a day, shut the TV off, turn the phones off, turn the radio off, and spend time with our children, playing a game, reading a book, coloring, whatever it may be. Go outside, kick a ball, go to the beach, whatever it may be. So what do you think about that, Marshalia?
I think it would be a good idea.
Yeah?
I'd go out with Elijah.
Absolutely. How about you?
I think it's important to make mental connections with your family, mm-hmm. instead of just being around each other and being used to it. It's very important to be connected with your family that way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're an early education childhood specialist. Is that, did I say it right?
Well, I'm an early childhood educator. So I currently am working for Head Start as a teacher. And, you know, one of our main focuses is to unplug our children from devices, from screens. Research shows that children are really unable to absorb what they see because images flash within 6 to 8 seconds, and our brain needs more absorption. We need more time to look at that image and see what's happening. And so we often set our children in front of TVs, and we say, you know, hey, we'll put on Nick Jr., or we're going to put on, you know, something that's educational.
The ultimate babysitter, as some would say.
Right. Our children are fine. And, you know, that's okay in moderation. And that's the problem right now, is that our society is really saturated with images, just screen time. So mm-hmm. any way we can reconnect our people, ourselves as a community to nature is, like, vital to our existence.
I hear a community challenge. I challenge everybody, like I said, to 2 hours a day, once a week, to unplug all devices and spend just whatever kind of time, personal time, with your children. It makes a world of difference. So, I got something to say. Lauren Brown, Lauren Brown was a 27-year-old woman who had applied to St. Mary's Academy and was accepted and then found her application was sent back saying that she needed to put in there a little bit more about herself, her spouse, her kids, her family. And she had asked the question, what if she was to marry a woman? Well, that sent a downward spiral, and they basically reneged her application. Well, what I have to say about it is, why is it that for people who are in religion or whatever want to preach that, you know, and this is my opinion, that you're to love thy neighbor and to not judge. Judge, and ye shall be judged. Mm-hmm. So why is it that she can't work as a teacher there? It's not their sin, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
It's just because it's a Catholic school. And so me going to a Catholic high school and knowing that, that's why.
Is that something that would bother you as a student at
it
a
does.
Catholic school?
It does.
No, that there would be a teacher there that...
Oh, no. Not if there was a teacher there.
The students rallied for her.
Yeah, I feel like if someone wants to express themselves or be with someone like that, if they love them, then that's their choice. But, I mean, I have nothing against anybody, so...
Does it make it better that St. Mary's offered her a full year salary plus benefits if she was to keep quiet?
No.
That's heinous.
She didn't agree.
I.
She wants the word out instead of the money. Mm-hmm. She wants people to learn what's really going on. So I thought I would touch on that because that's a little, like you said, heinous to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're so strapped for stellar teachers.
Absolutely.
And you're telling me that students are rallying for this teacher. They are connected to this teacher. And the fact that it's sad that she had to, that she felt a pause to even bring up her sexual orientation. It shouldn't matter.
Right.
The first thing we learn when we deal with youth and community is that we put our biases in our back pocket. You know, we all have them.
Absolutely.
No matter what, you know, we want to be as open and as equal as we can to everyone, but we do all have biases, and you just learn that you have to keep them private. You can't put those biases out in the, you know, and hopefully you can learn and have new experiences that, you know, like change your mind on about, you know, things that you might have believed in that were a bias.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel that everybody is different in some way or another, and it's we as people, you know, if we judge other people, we're never giving anybody a chance to, you know, prove themselves to us by us judging them for something like that.
And we're missing their gift. They have, everyone
Absolutely.
Has something
I'm sure that
to give.
I have paper in front of me right now with a history of what's going on with her. For those of you out there who can't see us. it's just paper after paper of the whole conversation basically between her and the St. Mary's staff and the way it all went down. And you know, it just sickens me. It really, really does sicken me. And speaking on that, and you know, there's another thing that I have something to say about. It's another woman named, Kim Davis. I don't know if any of you guys know who she is, but she's the lady who was held in contempt for not following the law, her job, to hand out licenses to same-sex couples. She also told her staff that they were not allowed to do it. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think that it was fair that she served a few days in jail and got her job back? She absolutely refuses to sign her name on the license.
No, because, I mean, I think she was in the wrong.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, I mean, you knew what your job was going to be.
Absolutely.
And if that was going to affect you somehow, or...
She said that her freedom of religion was taken.
No, it wasn't. You're supposed to separate church from state.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that. This is my teenage daughter who's talking, Marshalia. And I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm not a religious person. My children could tell you that. However, I do know a little bit of something like not judging people and, you know, different things like that. And for a teenager to bring up an adult situation where this woman absolutely says that they've taken that from her, your freedom of religion is to believe however you believe.
Mm-hmm.
When you signed the contract to have a federal job, your job was to issue licenses by law.
Yeah, you gave away the right to any of your own opinions, and you have first and foremost uphold the laws.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with them or not.
That's how I feel.
Due process in how to affect those laws.
Right.
Whether you are a change maker or a valued person in the community.
Yeah.
So
when I heard that she had gotten her job back, and it was on the grounds that she agreed to issue the licenses,
right,
but they can't have her name on them, and her staff can issue licenses, so they don't have name. They have like a due to federal mandate, mm-hmm, or I don't know the
like
exact
agent
words.
Number so and so.
Basically, mm-hmm. So I mean, personally, I don't think that's fair.
Mm-mm.
You know, and number one, why does she even have her job?
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that this woman can come out and do this and say these things, and then want to fall back on religion, and it's acceptable because she's gotten her job back?
You know,
that's not okay.
Yeah, it's again another, for me, this is another whole soapbox, but you know, a lot of times people use, you know, like there's that whole saying of I'm going to pull the blah blah card, you know, religion card, you know,
mm-hmm,
you know, just because you're ashamed of or you need something else to back up, you know, your opinions. This woman is completely like, oh, I'm against it. Well, then
she says her religion doesn't allow her to believe in that. And that's okay if that's how she believes. However, like I said, signing that contract for that job,
mm-hmm,
means that you, like you said, put your personal beliefs aside.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, you have to, what'd you say? Separate
church from state.
Right. And that's a rule. That's absolutely,
yeah.
Isn't that a rule in the church? Mm-hmm. My daughter isn't, you know, she's more faithful in the church than I am, so she would know.
Do you know this woman's position? I actually knew to this story.
Well, she's the one that runs the, I don't know the city, but mm-hmm, she's the one that runs the office to get, mm-hmm, to hand out marriage licenses. So
yeah,
whatever.
She's a clerk or some
right,
sort
she's
of
she's the head clerk, I guess you could, mm-hmm, say.
Okay.
And then she has her staff under her. So not only did, and here's what I think, not only did she use the religion thing, but she also had her subordinates, her employees, mm-hmm, break the law too.
Mm-hmm. She had ordered them not
absolutely.
To
absolutely, and
issue.
In fear of their jobs, of course, they're going to listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
So here now we have all these employees also breaking laws because of this lady. So who's losing their freedom of what? I don't think it's her. I think it's her employees, number one, losing, mm-hmm, their freedom, their right to make their own decisions on what they want to do. They have separated their religion and their work.
Yeah.
So who's taking whose freedom of what? That was really irritating to me. So I thought I'd have something to say about that. Well, I was waiting for Pamela and Nea, but she's not here. So anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and what issues do you guys have as being teenagers? And you both just graduated from school. Do you have with other kids your age who maybe haven't had as much drive as you have, or don't feel like there's anything out there for them? What message do you have to those kids out there who maybe want to hear somebody younger's voice?
I could say a lot. But I think the number one thing that I would tell teenagers is to just keep pushing. You know, don't give up because we can't. I mean, we have to just
fight.
Right, fight. Thank you. So I think that would be the number one thing.
You want to add to that, Olivia? She's so quiet, you guys.
I would say keeping hope and faith is very, very important. And I'm not a religious person myself, but I do pray every day. And I think by you praying and saying the things that you hope for out loud helps you stay strong and push for what you need in life, whatever that may be. So I think keeping hope is very important.
That's wonderful. So, hello, Pamela.
I don't have theme music, sorry.
That's okay. So we've been talking about, I made an update on the air quality issue that I brought up a couple months ago. It's been a good update. Talked a little bit about kids and turning off, you know, maybe 2 hours a week, you know, with their kids, turning off the TV and spending some time, game time.
I was listening.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, so, you know, obviously, if you were listening, you heard my views about Miss Lauren Brown and St. Mary's Academy. What's your view on that? What do you think about that?
Okay. Well, one of the things that really struck me about it, by the way, hi, I'm Pamela, and I am a queer woman of color, in case that hasn't been obvious. I didn't put it on any of my bios.
Well, we're not St. Mary's. We don't ask those questions.
Thank you. Just pay me. If you were St. Mary's. No. I think what struck me about it was, thankfully, how quickly the news covered it. Very quickly, how she was able to really garner the support that she needed. And... you know, that is great, that someone's livelihood, that someone's being able to hold on to their dignity. Mm-hmm. And frankly, when you look at it, she's still such a young woman still. So she can pretty much get over this hurdle. I think stepping back a little bit about it, it does, again, it strikes me how quickly, because... you know, it's hard to even get coverage for young queer black women, mm-hmm. who not only lost jobs but lost their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, gay, queer, trans women losing their lives every day in this country, and you can't get even their names mentioned or put in a headline or anything. This spread like wildfire.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I like to at least celebrate, you know, that this happened. This is good for a win for, you know, one, definitely for the school, I would say, because their students really showed up. They learned a big lesson.
They did.
And I'm aware that the policy did change regarding this.
That's
issue,
what I heard, that St. Mary's Academy is working towards being more inclusive now.
Okay.
However, I have not spoke with anybody from St. Mary's.
Gotcha.
So.
That's, all right, unconfirmed.
Right.
Okay.
But you know me.
Right.
So, anyway, okay, so, you know, sticking on that subject, we just got done talking about Miss Kim Davis.
I'm glad you were, though, to be honest, because you know, I'm tired of giving oxygen to this woman.
You know, and I just have to say that I am 100% against this woman having a job. I think that she needs to be fired, and I think that she needs to be sanctioned. There's absolutely no reason for her to act the way that she's acted, in my opinion, and still have the benefits that she has. It's just, it's oppressive to me. You know, we're supposed to be in 2015 and working towards a better world, and here we have women like this, or people, I'll just say people like this, who set people like us back, you mm-hmm. know, trying to make it better for the rest of us. You know, they set us back. This is, the way she thinks is just incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Her story to the media was just horrible. What would you say to her? If you had her in front of you, what would you say? What would be the first things that you would say to her?
I'm making a face because again, this is radio.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't put it into words. I'm having a very flames. I see flames moment. Thinking about it, and I was speaking to Nia, who wasn't able to make it today, and we were talking about how when we get started talking about her or this issue, we really do get very passionate, get very
fired up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think
it's ridiculous.
And she says something very I would take the example from, she just said, I don't need to put that negative energy out there. I can put it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also why she thought, you know, if she was here and she was able to talk about it, she just, I think we all feel like, and when I say all, anyone who identifies as LGBTQ, that we would rather think about those couples. We would rather think about somebody taking care of them. We would rather think about how happy they should be and they will be.
Mm-hmm.
And deserve to be recognized and accepted and acknowledged.
It's something beautiful to see anybody. I don't know. It's not about marriage itself as an institution, but the fact that they can celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel the same way. However, I do feel like I need to put it out there.
You can do the
absolutely
energy.
100% do not agree with Miss Kim Davis. Mm-hmm. And my views are very strong. And I believe that each individual has a voice, and their voice matters.
I hear another community challenge.
Absolutely. I hear another community challenge.
If you have like a voice,
why don't you call in and tell me how you feel on this subject? You don't have to state names. You don't have to tell me who you are. Just let me know how you feel about it. We're about to take a break here in a minute, but I just want to say, Pamela, I would like you to stay for the next segment because we're doing product of your environment, and you being who you are, you have also broken a stereotype. And I think that that's important that it gets brought up in the next segment. So we have a lot to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah. Can you do that? Great. So is there anything else that you would like to say about anything that I had to say? Is there something that you want to say?
Frankly, all that I was coming in here with is that we need to just stop pretending that she's a hero.
Oh, she's definitely not a hero.
For anything. It's her job to just file that paperwork according to the law.
Right.
And there is nothing heroic about her actions as it went around social media that she's being compared to Rosa Parks. But frankly,
Rosa Parks?
Wow. Oh, you've been avoiding Facebook.
That's
why.
I haven't been on Facebook for months.
Wow. Yeah.
Rosa Parks,
there's a
whole
lot
other
of
conversations.
Mm-hmm. Memes on that. And frankly, she is the person that frankly is more comparable to the person who told Rosa Parks to go to the back.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And as I
she's
said,
she's an oppressor.
Who is the one taking the freedom of who? You say that, or she says that, you know, the law, or for lack of a better terms, is taking her freedom of religion. But who's taking whose freedom? I mean, she's taking everybody's freedom who believes in anything other than themselves. That's how
mm-hmm,
I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So no.
That's that same religion that's not supposed to, you know, put anybody
judgmental.
On. Yeah,
right.
You're not holier than anybody.
Holier than anybody.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think anyway. That she needs to be, you know, put out there. A shame on you,
right. I think
Kim
that would have
Davis.
Been my
shame on you for using your religion
how
to put
you.
Your personal beliefs out there to the world. How dare you?
And it was none of her business in the first place.
It wasn't.
At all.
How dare you? Again, my opinion. How dare you? With that, I'm going to go to a break. Here is Crossroads by Bone Thugs in Harmony, dedicated to my late father-in-law, R.I.P. I love you, Albert Williams.
Oh. Boom, 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 boom. Now tell me what you're gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to run. When judgment comes for you, when judgment comes for you. Tell me what you're gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to hide. When judgment comes for you, cause it's gonna come for you. Plan to heaven, follow the Lord on 24/7 days. God is who we praise, even though the devil's all up in my face. But he's keeping me safe and in my place. Say grace to the gates, we race, but I don't change the face of judge. And against my soul with books, grudge because there's no mercy for thugs. Ooh, what can I do? It's all about the family and how we do. Can I get a witness? Let it unfold. We're living our lives, so we turn around so ill.
And we're praying, we're praying, we're praying, we're praying. Every day, every day, every day, every day. And we're praying, we're praying. Now follow me, Rosto, weather is teller, it's tapping. Come, let's go take a visit to the people that's long gone there. While he's a terrible, it's steady keeping up of a family. Exactly how many days we got lasting? While you laughing, we're passing, passing the way. So don't raise your toes, cause I know I'ma meet you up at the crossroad. Y'all know if I ever got love with them both thugs, baby. Let me be long gone, really wish you'd come home. But when it's time to die, gotta go bye-bye. All a little thug could do was cry, cry. Kill my dog. Yeah, man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. And he shouldn't be gone in front of his home. When they did, the boo was wrong. Pull the rules wrong. Gotta hold on, gotta stay strong. When it did comes, better believe on. Gotta show that you can lean on. Lean on.
Yeah, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. Every day.
Welcome back. I'm Mary Postlewaite, and this is Bread and Roses Kitchen Table Conversations. That was Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads. So, I've been told we have a caller on the line. Bradley, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm just glad that to hear you guys are speaking out about that Kim Davis lady. That's, she just makes everybody upset. And, I mean, the country's come so far, and for her to just try to drag us back is... You know, it's upsetting. And, you know, in the country of Kazakhstan, the scientists actually did a research on the size of a woman's brain and how it's a lot smaller than a man's. And so that's what I think that it goes into. I don't know. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in. Wow. I don't know. My brain is big. But anyway... So let's go on. Product of your environment. This is the next segment. I wanted to bring this up because all my life I was told that I would grow to be a product.
My tongue is hurting so bad right now.
I know. Okay. Bradley, right. We love you. And thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bradley.
Right. Product of your environment. My daughter and her best friend over here are two young ladies who just graduated high school. Now, as you've been told before, the neighborhood that we that my daughter grew up in and her friend Olivia, that wasn't the best neighborhoods in the world, you know. But I want you guys to hear from them how they felt that their environment was as they were growing up, and if they thought that it was something spectacular enough for them to, you know, follow as far as, you know, lack of a better terms, everything that's going on. Marshalia, let me...
So I grew up in the St. John's Woods, and... Oh, a lot went on. I've seen drugs, I've been in shootings as a kid, and I mean, lots of violence, lots of fights, but one thing I would say about growing up where I did and made me who I am today, and my mom always taught me to see the silver lining, and no, it's not a road I followed at all. People told me I was going to drop out of high school, get pregnant, be on drugs,
Did you get that, Olivia?
Not a lot at all. I don't even remember a time I could have gotten that, but I saw it in other people, mm-hmm. and probably at one point even believed it in someone because it was so realistic, and you just grow up around that type of stuff, and it's hard not to believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Both these young ladies have grown up in... again, you know, a crime-riddled neighborhood, single-parent families, siblings, and it was kind of rough. And, you know, the stereotype of being a product of your environment, let me explain what I mean by product of your environment. Product of your environment means everything around you, not just your household, not just your mom and your dad and your brothers and sisters, but it means your neighbors and your community and the people around you and the things that they do and the activities that go on in your everyday life. That's what your environment is. And when you become a product of your environment, that means that you follow into whatever the stereotype of that environment is. Had these two young ladies fall to victims of their environment, they could have been gang members or, you know, shot and dead by now, on drugs, have babies young, but, you know, through perseverance and, you know, pushing through and seeing the world for what it is, they have broken that stereotype and made something of themselves. Marshalia now is moved out of home and living on her own, and she has a brand new job, and she's doing very well. And Miss Olivia is at the ripe age of 16 and has graduated high school. And are you 17 now?
Yes.
Oh, she just turned 17. That's right. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Still, she was 16 when she graduated, and yes. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I've known you since you were young and the struggles that have gone on in your life, it means a lot to see these two young ladies push through it and make it out there. What's something that you could say as you guys were growing up that scared you the most, you know, and made you not want to fall into those kind of stereotypes that were in the neighborhoods that you grew up in, the community that you grew up in?
Like, how did you know that wasn't for you? Like, that behavior?
Oh, it just came naturally. Like, I don't know. When I feel something bad in my body, I just follow it. And it usually, you know, I just can tell when something wouldn't be healthy for me or wouldn't work.
So, like, an intuition, kind of,
for
like,
sure,
a gut feeling.
I just go with my gut feeling, and I know what's right, and I know what's wrong. And I know what will be right for me in the end.
Absolutely. We have another caller. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight?
I'm okay. That last caller left a question mark over my head about the size of a woman's
vagina. I was waiting.
I
was waiting for some.
I don't think that's accurate at all. I do think like a woman's place should be in the kitchen or up on the stripper stage, or serving.
Did he say he believed
did
in
he,
that?
Did you? Whoa.
That sounded a little bit like Bradley, to be honest.
Was that? Wait a minute. Did I just hear that women belong in the kitchen or on the stripper stage? Is that what I just heard?
I don't know. I think we might have missed something.
I'm pretty sure.
I hope that's not what I heard. Michael, come on now.
No.
If that's not what I heard, I would love for you to call back in and explain what it was that I just heard.
Yeah.
If not, don't worry about it. Moving on. Olivia, so you were talking about your environment and how you feel like, you know, what it was that made you see that, you know, you need to take another turn than what was going on in the neighborhood that we were in.
I'd say definitely seeing other people go through it made me realize I don't want to go through that, and I'm very observant on ways it can get there, and I try to avoid those ways to get to those situations that would bring me down or my family or even disappointment.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Amber, so, okay, I have to take a brief pause here. There's many questions and faces going on in the room right now.
Yeah.
And I just like to say, it's okay. Even if you have that opinion, I want you to call in because I'm going to challenge you.
I'm tweeting people to call right
absolutely
now.
Absolutely, call. Let me hear what you got to say.
Let's do it.
Do you think that I need to be on a stripper pole? As opposed to speaking right here on the radio and letting you know what's really going on?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, let me hear what you got to say.
Yeah, is it necessary for
absolutely
women in this?
Amber.
Well,
tell me about your what you got to say. I see you're over there looking at me like, whoa.
Here's my thing. We obviously sparked our unintelligent small brains, obviously sparked your interest. We engaged your cognitive.
Let's talk about your degree and what you do for a living.
Oh.
Since your brain is so small.
It is small. My bad. No, I just like to say that. While we're joking around, I think we're just a little heated under the cuffs right now. We're all, you know, trying to make a little bit light of the situation, but it's definitely absolutely not okay.
It's not.
You know, we are a group of very powerful, very strong, very intelligent women, and we bring so much to this world and community. And had we, as women, stayed on a stripper pole or in the kitchen, we would never be able to, you know,
birth people like you,
right,
Michael.
So right, there are many opinions, and I'm just going to say that this radio show, although this is my second time here, I know this to be a very, very positive place. And that you know, callers, if you have opinions, we'd like you to keep them as, you know, clean as you possibly can. Where we're talking about situations that bother us all, we don't need to further upset anyone. So that's all I have to say.
No, I was genuinely laughing only because, of course, women who are allowing you to call in and invite you into our space. This is our house. I don't know who you thought this house was, but it says Bread and Roses right there.
Absolutely.
And you have to remember that when you call the next time. Wait, what is our number? Oh, yes, I just tweeted it. Wait. Please, Michael, Bradley, listen to this very hypnotic, you know, female voice, female little brain voice coming at you right now. Definitely call us back at 503-231-8187. And we would love to show you how big our brains are.
Absolutely.
And frankly, this is my opinion, is that at least the women on the stripper poles are taking care of themselves. And they took your money,
absolutely,
clearly.
Absolutely.
So.
Thank you. Thank you for paying my rent. And
I just came from the kitchen. I mean,
I sure did.
I was hungry.
We all sustain life. I don't know where you got your food. Where did it come from?
See, this here.
I'm done.
This is what kitchen table conversations. This is the type of conversation that me and my friends have at home. We sit around the table and we talk about nothing, Michael, like you. Anyway, that's my opinion. We sit around the table and talk just like this. I challenge anybody out there, call me. Tell me what you have to say. I will challenge anything that you have to say that may be negative. This is why I need an after 10 o'clock program. Mm-hmm. See, we're in family time right now, so we're censored. Yeah. Let me get a show after 10.
Yeah, so keep listening. Stay tuned for the 10 o'clock
Stay tuned.
Edition.
Right.
Of and Uncensored.
Unfortunately, I will have to apologize to my beautiful daughter, Marshalia, and her friend, Olivia, for having to hear such, you know what? I don't even think that there's a word that can explain.
that's the word. That was tweeted. That's the word. Misogyny.
Close, yeah, very close-minded and misogynistic. Absolutely.
There you
male.
Go. There you go. You know, and this is what I mean by product of your environment.
Mm-hmm. Don't be it, Michael.
People
you
like
can
that.
Resist Please. It. Do not fall succumb to whatever you heard from
listen,
other men in your
listen
life.
To yep. my
Women
voice.
Are fantastic.
Michael, who hurt you?
Would
who
it be better? You, would it be better if I lowered my voice and I sound like a man? Would you listen to me? Would you value my opinion? Will my brain be bigger?
My degree won't be any bigger, I promise you.
Man, it's already big enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, on to bigger and better things. So tell me, Amber, you've also lived a life that's a little more rough growing up. Tell us about
right.
that.
Well, so just briefly, I, you know, was raised also in North Portland, St. John's. I, too, lived in the St. John's Woods. I lived in the Columbia Villa. Many, many, many places. People out there may know me. So, you know, I saw a lot of the same stuff. In fact, you know, it was in the 80s, so that's back when gang violence really started popping off. You know, people got shot. People got shot from ricochet bullets.
I don't know about you, but I was in the middle of it.
It became the very beginning of times when parents started being more concerned about where their children were. In fact, there used to be a PSA on TV that said, it's 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. Do you know where your children are? So, you know, just pop on, you know, and, you know, it was like, you know, hey, do you know where your kids are? So, you know, things got brutal outside and kids were kept inside. And, but still we saw a lot and we went through a lot. You know, I was raised in poverty. My mom was addicted to drugs and that led down a life where I decided to, you know, reach out to somebody at school. Thankfully, I had that person. It was my counselor, you know, and I talked to her and I said, you know, things are bad at home and I need help. And that was like the beginning for me. That was like the open door. I knew, I basically looked at my life and everything that I saw my mom doing as not what to do. Examples on not how to live my life, mm-hmm. you know. And so I literally have just done everything in complete opposite. You know, she... I've recently just become her caregiver again in life, so it's a second job for me.
It's funny how things like that come around, huh?
Come around full circle, mm-hmm. right? So I spent a lot of time living in foster homes and group homes. And, you know, so family to me looked like a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had an African-American mother who had very little education. And but knew absolutely everything there was to know about being a woman,
mm-hmm.
and told me about how lifted me up. She just focused on my strengths, you mm-hmm. know. And my grandmother was that way as well. And thankfully, you know, she was an instructional aide for Portland Public Schools. And all I knew was that my granny was a teacher, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the whole world. So I had something to look up to, and. I think that if kids are able to find that one thing that, you know, they're living in a life of darkness, you know, things are rough, you know, they've got things going on and all they want to do is hide, you know, so in a safe place. And if they have that one person, that somebody they can connect with or look up to or show, you know, that modeling
mm-hmm.
that we need to show our youth how to behave, you know,
Absolutely.
In society. And so I went from there, you know, and it took me a long time. I was a young mom. I became a mom at 19. My son pretty much saved my life. You know, I was going down a pretty, like, violent road. I was angry. I carried a lot of anger with me. I went through domestic violence with his dad. So that you know, further kind of pushed me down mentally. But I crawled out of it. I knew that that was not for me. I knew this life wasn't for me. I knew I was better than that. I knew I was, you know, had some greatness within me waiting to be, you know, bust out.
And tell everybody from all of that, where are you at now?
Well, currently I am a mother of two stellar children. I am an early childhood educator, like I said earlier in the show. I work for Head Start. I've worked for Early Head Start, and you know, I just am a complete advocate for everything that's fantastic for families, for women, and I'm still fighting and clawing my way to become a primary teacher, so I'm still seeking my bachelor's degree mm-hmm. and plugging away.
And there it is.
So, yeah.
Cool. Right on. So, Pamela, let me ask you before time runs out, tell us a little bit about you and how you grew up, what kind of environment you had when you grew up.
Well, I really love this topic. Although it doesn't go exactly the same way, I guess. I would still consider myself a first generation immigrant. I came from the Philippines when I was 3. That's pretty young, 3 and a half. And I learned English from Sesame Street. I was in Queens, New York. I'm not gonna just break everyone's airwaves right now by screaming holler. That's not me today, no. What's funny is that we grew up in a part of Queens, Astoria, another mm-hmm. Astoria. Mm-hmm. That was amazing and great, and it was just it kind of symbolized the city for me. Going to train, you have get your slice of pizza while you're waiting for your laundry, all of that stuff. But then we moved to the suburbs, got the big old American dream, that's the immigrant dream, to go and have a yard. You have a house that you clearly can't afford, because that's all my family did, was put it all on credit. Mm-hmm. It's like they went, I got 5 on this. You know, you cannot pay for this. So that went on just so that we could go to a very nice Catholic school. I still talk to Catholic school friends about the Mets because, oh my God, they're actually winning. Oh my God, I'm on the radio and I get to show my Let's Go Mets. Oh my God. So I have all of that, and I have all of that, but largely just growing up middle class, growing up, I got a scholarship for myself. I'm not going to say my parents did much. I got a scholarship for myself both times in high school and then college. Definitely fell to the, I want to say, so I was an overachiever, and I probably still am at this point, but a lot of pressure that a lot of Asian American parents put in their kids. You know, you just fall a little bit and you're just like, okay. And I'm not even gonna lie, I failed a lot of classes in that first taste of independence, and I get to sleep away from home, and oh my goodness, can my boyfriend come over? Okay, they don't know, nobody knows. Got a dorm. So there was a lot of stuff that you're just getting into when you're in a freshman in college. So things kind of went a certain way. I guess that was a big setback and some other setbacks, but I think the time that really, after all of that, I think really set me, there were two big times where I really tasted struggle was, so I was already over 21, I was about 21, 22, when I got pregnant, conceived with my boyfriend, the beautiful son that I have now. And so I was already old, and I didn't graduate. I graduated high school. I got my own scholarships. What are you complaining about? I'm old enough
did
to
better
drink.
Than me.
You know what I mean?
I was 16.
I know a lot of friends that were also teenagers when they had kids too, but it was sort of, it's not okay at any age to hit your daughter when you think that or when you find out that she was pregnant, oh, well, I just put this on the radio. Great. Oops. So.
Sorry, Ma.
I'm not really sorry.
Never mind.
And so fast forwarding, you know, all of that, that's why I guess it was a really big milestone, and it really set things off. You know, I was disowned.
I was disowned.
But, you know, fast forward a couple of other setbacks and things. Then I had to struggle when I was a single mom with a disabled kid that was just trying to, you know, get what he needed from the system, from services that you say on so many lines. You try to do what you can, but you can't get anybody to watch him. You can't get any care. So how can you provide? How can you do what you need to do? So everything that I did is trying to pull in what I could so I can actually be independent, so I can make a living, so I can do all of that. So yeah, I've had those days of staying all day long in New York. It would be the, well, it's actually the same, SNAP, for any kind of benefits. And you're staying all day long there. And you can go 9 in the morning and you will have to bring your food, and you might not be seen because they have everybody coming in. I talked about different hardships, getting to safety, and there's just not enough resources for women that are doing the best they can for their kids, without any help from family who don't approve. And when I say it's two milestones, the second milestone is that I disowned them. Mm-hmm. For my own safety, for my own survival, I decided that however bad things got, and frankly, it was actually horribly painful. It was heart-wrenching because these are the people that are your only connection to your history. They're your only connection to my cultural heritage. They're my only connection to the recipes that I cook, all of the things that I can't go back and actually know someone right now and call them up who knows me since I was a baby. And that's not common for Filipinos, even for orphans. Frankly, there's a lot of, I know a lot of Filipino adoptees, and they're adopted by non-Filipino families, but they have families. Mm-hmm. And bring this right back into queer life, a big part of LGBTQ, it's almost like a rite of initiation, is that you choose your family. You move forward for your own survival, and you make your own family. So it's like a pretty common thing to hear about chosen family. My friend does not want me to say family, friend family. Like, oh, it sounds wrong. No, it's, but at this point, the only family that I have is my son, and outside of that, wonderful people that, if anything were to happen to me, I guess would, you know, take care of my son. And those people are not even people that have known me maybe for the last 5 years. I took a huge risk just to break out of the cycle that we were in Brooklyn at the time. And I made a gamble for the Pacific Northwest. I couldn't afford San Francisco, and I'm not gonna get into all the stories with that in San Francisco, but made a gamble. 3 bags on a flight. And the first time that we got to our apartment, I didn't know what to feel like. It almost felt like I was free. Like when you live in any kind of shelter or something, you always have people coming in to check your stuff. You don't know when they're gonna come to, well, sometimes you do, to inspect your room, make sure everything's clean, that you don't have anything illegal, everything's good. It felt so strange to me to not have anyone that I was reporting to, that I had to come back for curfew, that somebody could come into my apartment while I was in the shower, which is a fear I had to get over. So it felt, and this is not hyperbole at all, I think it was very close to what people do when they're no longer incarcerated and you're transitioning.
Absolutely.
So that is the first time ever on the air that I really got into that, by the way. This is what you do to me, Mary.
It's not a bad thing, though. So time is almost up, and you know, I want to thank all of you for being here and sharing a little bit about your stories and your opinions on things that I have such strong opinions on too.
Yes, thank you.
And for the last few seconds of the show, I want to say that, you know, as I was growing up, I too lived in a middle class. You know, my mom worked, she went to school, my dad worked, blah 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 blah. However, emotionally, it wasn't there. And I fell into being a product of my environment, as, you know, I've shared before, with the struggles that I had in my life. So I wanted to make sure that my children didn't fall into that same pattern. And I felt like it was important that I share these two young ladies' stories and these two beautiful women's stories, to show women out there that it's okay and you can persevere no matter where you're at, what you're doing, or who's around you.
Struggles.
And I would like to, again, thank all of you guys for coming, and thank Leanne for engineering. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Mary Postwaite. You can like Bread and Roses on Facebook and get updates and behind-the-scene photos. We're on Twitter at Bread and Roses Radio. You can also find us on the web at www.kboo.fm/breadandroses to listen to past shows and leave comments or suggestions. You can also email us suggestions at breadandrosescollective@gmail.com. Next week, I will be your host again, and we'll have another kitchen table conversations. We'll be speaking about breastfeeding in public. And again, I got something to say. So I'm not sure exactly who's going to be in studio with me that day. But look forward. Thank you.